ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय सरस्वतीं व्यासं
देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं
तोजाय मुदीरये
तोजाय मुदीरये।
We are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 17, Mother Parvati curses Chitraketu. Text number 31. Vasudeve Bhagavati
Vasudeve Bhagavati
Bhaktim Udvahatam Ranam
Bhaktim
Udvahatam Ranam
Bhaktim Udvahatam Ranam
Jnana Vairagya Viranam
Jnana Vairagya Viranam
Nahi Kaschid Yapashrayaha
Nahi Kaschid Yapashrayaha
Vasudeve
Vasudeve
To Lord Vasudeva
To Lord Vasudeva
Krishna
Krishna
Bhagavati
Bhagavati
The Supreme Personality of Godhead
The Supreme Personality of Godhead
Bhaktim
Bhaktim
Love and faith in devotional service
Love and faith in devotional service
Udvahatam For those who are carrying
For those who are carrying
Nirnam
Nirnam
Men
Men
Jnana Vairagya
of real knowledge and detachment.
Viryana
possessing the powerful strength.
Na not
he
indeed
kaschit
anything
vyapashrayaha
As interest or shelter. Translation. Persons engaged in devotional service to Lord Vasudeva, Krishna, have naturally perfect knowledge and detachment from this material world. Therefore, such devotees are not interested in the so-called happiness or so-called distress of this world. Please repeat. Persons engaged in devotional service to Lord Vasudeva, Krishna, have naturally perfect knowledge and detachment from this material world.
Therefore,
such devotees are not interested in the so-called happiness. Or so-called distress of this world. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Here is the distinction between a devotee and a philosopher who speculates on the subject matter of transcendence. A devotee does not need to cultivate knowledge to understand the falsity or temporary existence of this material world. Because of his unalloyed devotion to Vasudeva, this knowledge and detachment are automatically manifested in his person. As confirmed elsewhere in Srimad Bhagavatam 127, Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitah Janayat Yashu Vairagyam Jnanam Chayavahai Tukam. One who engages in unalloyed devotional service to Vasudeva Krishna automatically becomes aware of this material world and therefore he is naturally detached. This detachment is possible because of his high standard of knowledge. The speculative philosopher tries to understand that this material world is false by cultivating knowledge. But this understanding is automatically manifested in the person of a devotee without separate endeavor. The Mayavadi philosophers may be very proud of their so-called knowledge, but because they do not understand Vasudeva Sarvanipti, they do not understand that the world of duality, which is a manifestation of Vasudeva's external energy. Therefore, unless the so-called jnanis take shelter of Vasudeva, their speculative knowledge is imperfect. They simply think of becoming free from the contamination of the material world, but because they do not take shelter at the lotus feet of Vasudeva, their knowledge is impure. When they actually become pure, they surrender to the lotus feet of Vasudeva. Therefore, the absolute truth is easier to understand for a devotee than for jnanis who simply speculate to understand Vasudeva. Lord Shiva confirms the statement in the following verse. I offer my respectful obeisances to His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, to all the great acharyas, and to all the Vaishnavas who are here today. All glories to your service. Hare Krishna. This verse says, again, persons engaged in devotional service to Lord Vasudeva Krishna have naturally perfect knowledge and detachment from this world, from this material world. Therefore, such devotees are not interested in the so-called happiness or so-called distress of this world. And again, we'll find in the Shastra that this sense of detachment and knowledge comes automatically to those engaged in the process of a pure bhakti to the Lord. And we see it practically in ourselves, hopefully, and also within those that we invite to take part in the process of bhakti. One day, they will feel that it might be impossible to follow four regulative principles, as an example. And also, it may seem a monumental task to chant more than one round. But then we find, as they continue the process in association with devotees, and when I say process, I mean especially hearing and chanting, and doing seva, shushru shro shadadhana sya vasudeva katarachi syan maha sevaya vipra punya tirtana shevana. Those who engage in the process of bhakti, especially associating with devotees, great souls, by serving them, start to develop a natural attraction for hearing and chanting. And by that, they also develop this knowledge and detachment from the world. And this is the superior quality of bhakti. It contains everything within it. The sages at Naimasaranya were trying to discern what is the perfection of life. They were aware of the fact that there were millions of verses to sort through in the scriptures. They ask the second question they ask at Naimasaranya, Bhudini Bhudi Karmani Shotavyani Vibhavasha Atasadyo Triyatsaram Samudritya Manishaya Bruhi Bhadraya Bhutanam Nina Masupasidati. They're asking Sudha Goswami, who's been selected as the one who can point them in the right direction, you know all these scriptures, there are millions of them, and then please tell me, out of all of these, what is the saram? What is the cream? And tell us, what is your thought, Manishaya, about what is the perfectional path that will give satisfaction to the self? And then he answers in the verse, in the next chapter, Savai Pumsa Paro Taramo Atam Bhaktir Toksije Ahaitu Kya Pratyata Yayatma Supersedati. That the will be satisfied by practicing pure devotional service. And that that devotional service Ahaitu Kya Pratyata is without interruption and it is unmotivated. And by that practice, then we come to the verse that is very similar to today's verse that says, Vasudevi Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janaya Yashu Vairagyam Jnanam Chayara Haitakam. That by doing that service, then one naturally, automatically, and very quickly gets knowledge and detachment from the world. Because this is a natural effect of being in contact with Krishna. When we're in contact with Krishna, as Krishna recommends in the Bhagavad Gita, manmanam bhavamatpato, just think of me, then by our connection to him, we naturally develop these good qualities. Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavati akinchana sarvera gunastatra samasati sura harava bhaktasya kuto mahajana manorati nasati tapito vidhi. I believe that was mentioned in the verse today. That naturally, by the devotees have good qualities. The good qualities arise in the devotees, such that even the devas want to associate with them. Because this is inherent in the practice of bhakti, because it's all there within Krishna. Can we have more air, please? Good for the brain. Thank you. And this, again and again, comes up, how by concentrating one's attention on Krishna, through that natural alignment, we develop good qualities, which include knowledge and detachment from the world. Prabodhananda Saraswati, I'm just going through a few verses that give evidence of this, says, Bhaktis tvayi stirataya bhagavan nidhisya tayavina na paliti divya kishora muti Mukti swayam mukli tanjali sevate sman dharmarta arta gataya samaya pratiksha. And that is, he said, when I am practicing bhakti, that not only do I see Krishna everywhere, but also mukti comes and stands outside my kutir and says, how can I serve you in any way? What to speak of dharma, artha, kama? All the other desirables, so-called desirables, as Prabhupada's mentioning them here, are at the disposal of the devotee. But even then, the devotee is so interested in Krishna and so charmed by the process of bhakti, by the sound of Krishna's names and offering prayers to Krishna, hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, that he or she is not inclined towards these other attractions that everyone else is interested in the material world. This is the natural quality of bhakti. When I was doing book distribution here in New York City with Prem Kishore, Prabhu, he used to come sometimes in the summer and I'd join him for a couple weeks. And we were in front of the New York Library. He put a big table up there. And then we'd go up and down to distribute books there. We had our dhotis on. He was wearing blue sneakers and a dhoti. And we were meeting all kinds of people. It was jammed there in the summer. And one day, he used to enjoy giving out Mahaprasadam from the deities, from Shishi Radha Govinda. He'd just have it in a plastic container and he'd take it out like big pieces of burfi just with his fingers and hand it to people, Vrindavan style. And so he had this a group of tourists, as actually a family from some part of Europe, and the two kids, and husband and wife, mother, father, the kids had these huge ice cream cones, a double-decker, and they were standing there in the hot weather enjoying them. And the father was a nice man. He bought a book. And then Prem Kishore pulled out his container of sweets. And he started handing them, one to the father, one to the mother. And then the kids had this conundrum. Actually, it wasn't for long, because when they saw the sweets, they both dumped their ice cream cones in the trash. It was so spontaneous. I was watching, and Prem Kishore was watching, and we both thought the same thing of these verses. How when you bring out the superior quality, it becomes obvious to the soul. It's like, I like this better. You know, the little kids were, you know, doing this kind of spontaneous activity. They just let them go, both at the same time, and took the sweets, big pieces of burfi and sandish, and they were enjoying them. And this is an indication of the superior quality of bhakti energy. That when one tastes it, all the other activities in the world become subservient. So this evidence gives one the guidance, to give one's full attention to the process of bhakti, tasmad ekena manasa bhagavan sattvatam pati shrotavya kirtitavyascha dhyeya pujascha nityada. The Bhagavatam goes on to say, therefore, tasmad, one should give one's full attention to the process of hearing, chanting, or remembering Krishna. And then naturally, all the necessary helpful components will arise. This is mentioned that we need the stability to continue in bhakti. Tashchadatana munayo jnana vairagya yuktaya pashnantyamani chakpanam bhaktya shutagrihitaya. The Sutta Goswami is mentioning how to go on steadily in bhakti. One needs this to be fortified with jnana vairagya, and one also has to be thoughtful. And so if one practices the direct process of hearing and chanting and serving, then naturally these qualities will arise within one and fortify one to go on with the process steadily. Another evidence from the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is obvious, bhakti parishan bhavu viraktir anyata traisha trika ekakala prapadya manasya yatashnata sus tushti pushti shud apayon gasam. But that is from Vihavi Yogendra says that when one surrenders to Krishna, prapadya manasya, when you're in the process of surrendering to Krishna, then you'll naturally develop devotion to Krishna that will arise naturally. And one will see Krishna directly for oneself. And finally, one will become naturally detached from all those things that aren't related to Krishna. Just as when a hungry person eats a good meal, then he or she will see that the hunger is diminishing with every bite, and that person is feeling nourished and satisfied by eating. It's that natural, the process of bhakti. Therefore, one should give one's full attention to the process of hearing and chanting and remembering Krishna. And I'm always intrigued in the 11th canto with the section in which Lord Krishna instructs Uddhava about the mystic potencies. And there, he describes how those who are interested in they're interested in the material energy. They still have a desire for it. They have a way of focusing their energy on a particular element within the material nature. And they can subtly begin to meld with that energy and develop its inherent powers. The subtle living being can do that. And there are various mystic potencies that one develops from doing that, from concentrating one's attention in that way. Dabbling, that's the word I was looking for. Those who are interested still have a desire to dabble in the material energy. It's never a good thing to dabble in anything, especially the material energy. It doesn't lead to a good place. But if you desire to dabble in the material energy, there are ways in which you can dabble. Some dabbling is better than others. And the mystic yogis focus their attention on a particular material element, they develop a particular power. However, it's mentioned there that those who are devotees of Krishna naturally develop all the mystical potencies. It comes from connection with Krishna in any way. In the story of Agastara, in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Agastara was a horrible person. He was interested in causing mayhem and actually killing Krishna. And he tried to do so. He killed Krishna and all his friends and calves. But because at some point when he was messing around with Krishna, he thought of him somewhat favorably. And just for a moment. And so Shukadeva Goswami says that anyone who thinks of the Lord somehow or other brings the form of the Lord within one's mind, attains the perfection of life. What to speak of those who lean into it? They discern that through understanding that there's a reasonable way to get knowledge from an axiomatic source, and that they then triangulate and they find what is the sarum, the cream of all that knowledge. They find those that are following it and that are getting the results that are consistent with what it says. They find a mentor, and then they lean into the process every day, every day, every day. What to speak of those people? What is the destination of someone who gives him or herself to the process of thinking of Krishna, especially by chanting the holy names? Because, as Rupa Goswami says, Krishna and his name are non-different, but of the two, even though they're non-different, the holy name is more merciful. Vacham vachakam ityu deiti bhavato nama swarupa dvayam. He says, the name of Krishna and Krishna are the same, but of the two, Krishna's name is more merciful than Krishna. Because even if one has become somehow or other detached from Krishna, or even offends Krishna, that the holy name will extend himself to that person anywhere within the three worlds. And just by saying Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
then that natural bliss will awaken within one's heart. And what to speak of, again, those who understand that the Krishna and his name are non-different and dedicate their lives to chanting the holy name. Such persons will be filled with knowledge. They'll also develop a natural sense of detachment from all things that aren't related to Krishna. And that is a happy life and a successful life on the way back home, back to Godhead. And now we'll take a few reflections or questions. A reflection means anything you heard from the purport or the monologue that stuck in your mind, or a question to bring out a deeper understanding, hopefully, of the subject matter.
I have a question.
Yes.
I once had a shirt made. It was a kind of inside joke in Chicago in 2000.
He once had a shirt made. It was an inside joke in Chicago.
And 2006, it said, chant and be happy, or at least chant.
2006, it said, chant and be happy, or at least chant.
Because it's the lived experience of many devotees that the chanting part goes on, the happy part isn't always coming. And my question is that the verse is saying natural gyan and vairagya comes from bhakti. But a lot of devotees, they feel the need to do other things in order to help them deal with the like psychophysical situation. Whatever it might be, therapy, or they have different things. Family constellation, I know, is a popular one that I've seen. And there are many modalities that devotees get into, to help them deal with, I guess, the psychophysical situation. And it's like bhakti isn't enough to give them that detachment from that situation, or it's not enough to give them satisfaction, so they have to combine their bhakti practices with these things. So I was wondering, what is your understanding of this sort of topic or issue?
Well, the Bhagavatam says that when you're fully absorbed in bhakti, then you'll feel satisfied. Uninterrupted and unmotivated bhakti, then the heart will feel satisfied. So one aspect of the conversation has to do with application of the process itself. This is important because when we're taking a certain kind of medication or therapy for anything, we have to make sure we're taking the proper amount. Now, I know this, you know, it's hard to take the proper amount if you don't have a taste, but this is at least worth mentioning, that every possibility that I'm either not taking it enough, the medicine, or I'm not taking it properly. Because if we don't say that, and then I look for solutions elsewhere to deal with the imbalances that I'm finding in my life or lack of taste, then I may be cheating myself in some ways. So take more and find situations where you can get the best kind of association and so forth is one of the things that you should always look for. And that's one of the first places to look. Am I actually chanting? Or I'm chanting, but I'm actually listening while I'm chanting? Because that's a possibility also, is to go on chanting and then, as mentioned in the various kinds of offenses, or ways in which we can be deviated from chanting, to be inattentive while chanting is a classic. And I can chant again and again and then be thinking about all the ways in which I'm not getting a taste. And then, you know, that sort of perpetuates itself, and then I can go down that area. So adjusting, you know, what I'm doing properly, make sure you're taking the right medicine and the right amount. I could say that taking more is not harmful. It's definitely not harmful. It can really help. You know, it's a kind of therapy. Like, take a lot more. You know, feel free. In fact, when Devahuti complains about a similar thing, she says, you know, I'm listening to all this, what you're saying to Kapiladev. I said, but it still seems like I'm my body. And it still seems like it's impossible to get out of this. And then Kapiladev says, well, the solution is to hear for a long time. I like that, long time. We have this experience at Govardhan every year. We go there for the full Kartik. And we arrange the schedule so that at least 5 hours a day, sometimes it's 7 hours when we're trying to finish a particular canto, that we hear together in a room with no distractions. Well, it's for Dhamma. But we lock ourselves basically into, you know, a sequestered area. We go in a room. There's nothing else going on, and we just hear. And devotees who come there and listen for 5 hours a day for 30 days walk away different. I mean, they're changed. So, you know, God helps those who help themselves. Helping oneself, Prabhupada said, means putting yourself in front of transcendental sound vibration. Somehow or other, claw or drag yourself or have somebody else carry you and put you there and then guard the door so you can't get out. And be in that environment. I mean, having said that, obviously we have a lot of moving parts, physically and mentally, and one has to be a little inventive to keep the whole show going. Because it's going all different directions. Physically, you have to figure out a way to maintain yourself, both economically. Prabhupada writes in one of his purports, to do that, you have to be inventive. Or you should just be inventive. I like that. Find out a way, somehow or other, stay alive. And if you need to take some kind of special therapy, be very careful that you don't then make that the main thing. Because that can happen also. There's utsahan mayi for all kinds of things, including new therapies. It means youthful enthusiasm. You get a new kind of thing and then you go like, this is everything. No, it's not. It's just something to help patch you together so you can get in there and do your sadhana more.
Here comes the mic. Wait. Hare Krishna. I've always wondered, and I don't know if I've gotten a clear answer. I have some philosophical speculation on the matter, but the statement that devotees practice bhakti yoga, they automatically develop all the mystic powers. I've always wondered, does that mean they actually get the mystic powers? Does that mean that they gain the result, like the goal of like the yogi who has gotten these mystic powers, his highest realizations? I'm just wondering if, or maybe none of this is right. I'm just wondering what does that mean exactly?
Well, the devotees are fully dependent on Krishna. First of all, not interested in mystic powers, just as when we spoke about Prabodhananda Saraswati, the the essence of the verse he's speaking, the mood in which he's speaking it, he says, all I'm really interested in is meditating on you, Krishna. And these other things, they're he notices that they're there at any time that I would need them. But why would he need them? He would need them only in Krishna's service. And that's all the devotee's interested in. There's no other motivation. There's no, what word did I use?
Dabbling.
No interest in material energy at all. So it's not even something that the devotee notices so much. But Krishna's always there for the devotee at every moment. You look at Ambarish Maharaj. He didn't need to learn Kung Fu or something to take on Durvasa Muni. Nothing extra needed. Sudarshan Chakra was automatically there to assist him and to guard him. And all of Krishna's potencies are there for the devotee. I mean, why does the devotee have these things? Starting with what this verse is talking about, Jnana and Vairagya. As Krishna says in the Gita, Samoham Sarvabhuteshu Name Dveshvastina Priyaha Yeva Janti Tumam Bhaktya Mai Te Teshu Shapyaham. He said, okay, I'm equal to all. And this is how the seventh canto starts off, with this whole discussion about how is it that some people seem to be getting more than others, more mercy than other people, the demigods seem to be more protected than the demons and so forth. Shukadeva Goswami says, not at all. He says, Krishna is samoham. He's equal to everybody. But those who are in the mode of goodness, like the demigods, they can take more advantage of his mercy. Desham katam papam, jananam punyakarmanam, etc. And he says, also for the devotees, Krishna is saying in this verse, for the devotees who love me and are giving their full hearts and devotion, they're in me and I'm in them. There's an intimate connection, there's reciprocation. And when you come in contact with Krishna in this loving service, then automatically all the qualities of Krishna start to manifest in you and in your life. So again, your question went unanswered, but that was my feeling about it. Anything else? Means a reflection or a question? Still have 5 minutes.
If we keep engaging in devotional service, can we get the mystic power that everyone we saw will take a book from us?
Yes. Yes, you can. But, some people resist harder than others. And, there is free will involved. So you have to respect that also. And also, this is what the Shastra enjoins, is be aware of the fact that some living entities aren't ready yet. Ishvare taradineshu balisheshu yusasucha prema maitri kapopiksha yakaroti samadhyaha. This is the injunction of one of the yogendras who's describing the three levels of devotees and those who are going out to give Krishna to others. That's their preoccupation in life. They're looking to see who's balisheshu, who's innocent and open, so they can pour in more mercy. And for those who are not interested, who are deliberately avoiding Krishna, for such people, we're enjoined to be upeksha, to not engage them. However, Jiva Goswami goes on to say in his commentary on that verse that nonetheless, the devotee still prays for them. And also prays for ways that, how could I engage them? After all, that's the main concern of the Madhyama Adhikari, is how to give more and more mercy to others. And as well as, develop relationships with the devotees and worship Krishna. Yes, Prabhu. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
This question. Question about other things that might facilitate devotional service. Srila Rupa Goswami mentions to accept what is favorable for your service and to reject what is unfavorable. And this points to the relationship between the disciple and the spiritual master. in the context of Krishna and Arjuna. He gave Arjuna a specific request, a specific service, not just a service. Fight for me. Forget all desire for gain or safety. Fight for me. I want you to fight. I don't want you to go to the forest and sit there and meditate. So if we have a relationship with the spiritual master and the guru, if we're open enough to say, please give me your instruction, not just your permission for me to do something I feel like doing or like doing. If you, please give me your instruction. What do you want me to do? Like Krishna, Arjuna finally says to Krishna, all right, I'll do what you say. I'll do what you say. I'm going to do what you say. And then you can measure whether this thing is actually facilitating my prescribed duty given by the guru or diminishing it, right? Without the relationship with guru and Krishna, we can float around, dabble, and waver, not really get on the very center of Krishna's will.
Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai,
Natari Armarman.